Welcome to the Real Trail Runners of Jersey podcast. This is a show about the running scene here in Jersey, where we talk to people who run, what makes them tick and how they do it. The podcast is hosted by Lee Bennett and myself, Paul Burrows. Welcome to the Real Trail Runners of Jersey. Today, we're going to be talking, myself and Lee Bennett, we're going to be talking to the man, the myth, the legend, that is Harry McAlinden. Okay, Harry has done multiple West Highland Way races, Highland Fling races. He's taken on the Arc of Attrition, and he's also conquered Kilimanjaro, as well as multiple Round the Rocks. Welcome, Harry. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself?
Good, yeah. I'm all right, thanks, yeah.
Thanks for asking me, guys.
Oh, honestly, it's our pleasure. Like, I've been, you were sort of top of the list of the people that I wanted to talk to, really. I think, you know, we have to sort of address the fact that you are, how old are you now, Harry? 63 years old?
62. Hey, yeah, yeah.
62. So I think, like, that for me, right, is something that is massive, right? The fact that you are doing 100-mile races at the age of 62 is just absolutely phenomenal and something that really inspires me, because I think, like, it's quite easy to talk about, oh, you know, when you go out and have a tough run, you say, oh, well, it's just me getting old now. And then I think, well, Harry's 62. He's like 20 years older than me, and he's still smashing it. So I've got no excuse.
And really, I don't complain.
Exactly. You love it. You're actually getting better as you get older, aren't you? Would you agree?
It can happen. It can happen, yeah. Yeah. Some of my PBs are getting a bit better, yeah.
Yeah. And what would you put that down to?
Experience.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. The ultra game's on you, isn't it? It's kind of 10-year-old, isn't it?
Yeah.
And personally, yeah, I think I learn a lot.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, my age will come into the fact that maybe when I get to 70, I'm thinking I might slow down a bit, but just got to keep cracking away at it, haven't you?
You have indeed. How long have you been running for, Harry?
Well, I was looking at probably about 42, 43 years.
Jesus, yeah. That's nearly as old as I am. I'm not trying to say you're old. Yeah. Paul and I are around a similar age, you know, so it's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
I think I done my first 10-miler when I was about 19.
Right.
So, in a pair of Converse baseball boots.
Love it.
Really?
Love it. Was that over here? Or
no, was back home. That was back home in Scotland.
And that's Dumbarton you're from?
Yeah, in Dumbarton, right. Yeah. Cardross, right.
Had to run the area well, Harry.
Had to run a bit faster through certain areas.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. You maybe had Converse bottoms on, but you might have had a wee suit of armour and a bulletproof vest,
yes,
as you went.
That was it, yeah. Some parts.
Harry, when you say a PB, you talk about a PB there. What does a PB mean to you then?
Well,
for lots of people, it means times, but what does it mean to you?
Well, I would say, obviously, at marathons, I'm not going to do a PB at my age. You know what I mean? I've came to peace with that type of thing, but I'm thinking the 100 milers, the ultras and things, I still think I can get faster on Round the Rock. I still think I can get faster the West Highland Way.
Yeah,
I still think I can crack certain races that I haven't, you know, finished. So I'm still thinking time wisely. I think that's what I'm on about.
Aye, you're saying there, you know, you still think you can do it. I think that's what Paul and I were really quite amazed at, you know, is that you still think you can do it. And we've obviously read loads of books over the years about, you know, Born to Run and, you know, books on people running all the way up till their, you know, 80s, 90s, stuff like that. But to actually talk with someone, it's great to, we're kind of in awe about it. But I think it's when you say there, I think I can run, I think I can go quicker, I think I can do that. Is that something that you have always been like, or has it got easier and better as you've got older?
I think, well, the ultra scene, definitely. Do you know, when as I said about marathons, I've done a couple of sub-3 marathons maybe in my late 30s, but I knew when I got to 50, I knew I wasn't going to go sub-3. But, yeah, and then like 10 years ago, as I say, the ultras came along and I kind of took my you know, I was looking at maybe a 3:15 marathon would have been good.
Yeah.
But I think when I get involved in the ultras, I slowed down and, you know, it's all about volume of mileage and stuff. And, yeah. But I've kind of backtracked on that. I'm kind of thinking I need a bit more pace now to finish certain races. I need to get a bit quicker.
What was the first ultra you did, Harry?
Round the Rock.
Was it?
Yeah, Round the Rock was the first.
I think I remember meeting you on
that's
that.
That's right, that's right, yeah.
It was me and another guest of ours, yes, Steve Hayes.
Steve, yeah, yeah.
And we met you at Egypt, yes, wasn't it? And,
yeah, that's right.
And I remember chatting to you and you were having a bit of a bad day because you had food poisoning.
I used every toilet on the way around.
So I remember...
Well,
I'm a bit concerned because there's only a few toilets around there.
No, it's amazing how many toilets you can find when you've got to go.
I think I've said this to you before, but every time I go to those steps, I always think of you. I remember because there was a couple of years where I didn't actually know who you were. And obviously I met you on that thing. And I think it was only a couple of years later that we became friends. So yeah. I always would come to those steps and think, I wonder what happened to that guy.
He's probably dead.
Yeah.
Probably buried him by now.
And then we became friends. So the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first time I met Lee, I asked him about advice about the West Highland Way, and for the first 10 seconds of the conversation, he had to shut himself up. Do you remember what you said, Lee?
No, I don't. Go on.
You know, remember you said, I think they start that race the wrong way around, and you were like, I know, and you quickly moved on to, do you remember?
Go on, you go. I can't remember, but I think I remember saying about going back to front.
Well, if you started up the top, you would get all the hard stuff out of the way and then finish
that
up
was
the
it.
Flat.
That was it.
You did stop yourself. You did.
But I did. And I remember saying that because that was a race that does start really flat and it's not mundane, but it's a sort of jog through scenery that you can just go at pace.
Lovely.
But like in the
Devil's Staircase.
But like on the Round the Rock, you know, you get to the North Coast and there's no pace in it whatsoever. So you know, by the time you get to the Devil's Staircase and up in Kinloch-Leven, you're right at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just torture.
At the end of your tether.
So it starts easy and gets basically harder as it goes through. Is that what happens?
Yeah, for sure. Really, really hard. And the end is brutal, actually. I don't know if we, you know, Harry, I don't know what you thought of it, Harry, but I've not run the full race, but I've been around that area and ran various areas of it. But what did you think of the race? And would you do it backwards?
I'd do it backwards tomorrow. Yeah, definitely.
How far is that one, Harry?
95
miles.
Yeah, 95.
But it's from Mulgay, isn't it? It's from the Porsche area of Scotland. Yes. But it's a hard race, so Harry, isn't it? I think the record of that, the guy that done it in 15, didn't he?
15 yeah, I think 15 hours, yeah, for the top lads.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So in your intro there, Harry, I mentioned a few of the races that you've taken part in. Is there any that I've left out there?
No, not really, no.
Obviously, we just talked about the West Highland Way, and I think one that's particularly close to your heart is the Highland Fling as well, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great race. That's very doable. It's the first part of that, you know, as Lee was saying, it's probably the easiest part of that West Highland Way.
And how far is that?
53.
Yeah. I know, it's almost like a lot of people talk about that race and it's almost like it's got a very sort of close-knit community, hasn't it, people who run it?
Yeah, for sure. It's, they're all just, everybody gets to know each other and, you know, or volunteers show up every year, and it's just great. In fact, I was supposed to volunteer for this last year, but the pandemic's got in the way of it, and I don't think
it's a shame.
I was looking forward to that, you know, giving a bit back kind of thing. And
well, for you, I bet it's just going to see your mates as well, isn't it?
Like, my family
are volunteering, that's really cool.
Yeah, my whole family are always up there at the end, it's just amazing to see them. And
I think that's the thing, isn't it, about being involved with running? Like, there's so many facets that you can sort of be involved with. It's, you know, not necessarily running, but, you know, helping out at checkpoints or organising races or doing whatever, you know. Yeah. I think everybody kind of wins, don't they?
For sure, yeah.
And Harry, you've ever since I've known you, you know, I'm sure many people, whoever get to meet you, Harry, will remember you. You know, you're such a, I was going to say, lovable, caring individual. You really do look out for people and take time for people, whatever you're doing. You know, and every time I hear of a race running, you're either, if you're not running in it, you're sort of backmarking it, or you're volunteering, yeah. or you're, you know, and Paul and I were talking about the community of Trail Monkey and the running community, how important it is for some people to get out and just do what they do while they're running. But it almost feels like you revel in that. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I love to see people getting, you know, Paul organises the races, and, you know, for me just to get behind and just see everybody, you know, the first time running a certain distance, or, you know, it's part run was the same. It's just great to see people getting something out of running that I've, you know, had so much out of it. And if you can encourage people, who are maybe struggling at the back,
Harry's basically been the tail runner or back marker for most of my Trail Monkey races, I think, haven't you, Harry?
Well, yeah. If I'm here, I'm running on a Sunday or a Saturday anyway, aren't I? So
it's really good.
Yeah,
we've got a really good community there.
Yeah, that's the attitude that I know of you, Harry. You know, well, I'm out anyway. I might as well help. But really, it's such a help for people, you know. And it's
so tell us about some of the memories from some of the races you've done. What's the best memory that sort of sticks in your mind?
The best memory, you know, see finishing the West Highland Way the first time. You know, the first time because I struggled. You know, that was another race I got all wrong. You know, I was last to finish. Mm. It was like I took the whole 34 and a bit hours to, you know, my family were on standby to get up there to see me finish it. Liz and they all kind of made it to the end, which was, I don't know, what, 12 o'clock at night or whatever. Yeah, 11 o'clock at night, I think it was. Brilliant. That was a great memory. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Was that your first kind of, I know it wasn't strictly 100 miles, but was that your first 100 miles?
The week or two after about the first round of Rock, my brother and his wife come over on holiday. They were staying at the Grand Hotel, and my brother was talking about, he walks the West Highland Way a lot, and he was talking about being on the West Highland Way in the June, and he says there was these lads, you know, with like head torches and all that on, and I says, what was going on there then? He goes, I think there's a race, I think there. And as he was saying it, he kind of tried to stop himself because he's seen the excitement from me. Going, I suppose,
the eyes.
Well, when is the it? Eyes. And then the following year, I was in it. And he was my crew, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then.
And so that was your first attempt at that kind of the 100-mile-ish distance then?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, so I can imagine. So what's the elevation for that?
Is it 1,700, would that be feet or meters? Feet, right, yeah. Yeah.
17,000 feet, or?
I think 1,000. Am I right, Lee?
Yeah, around about that.
Yeah. I'd say it's a bit lumpy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's going to be around about that, yeah.
And it rained for the first mile, then just the weather was just atrocious. And I was one of the second or third challenges I've done for Headway. And I got to like 53 mile, yeah. And I thought, that's it. There's a couple of grand there for Headway. I just wasn't finishing. And I had a guy who'd done it before who was going to run with me when we got to the 70-mile mark. And he came in and he says, you're getting this done. You know what I mean? You're getting it done, whether you like it or not. And we did. But my brother was going to pull me out at Glencoe.
Yeah.
We got it done.
What was your state of mind like at, say, mile 70 then, when, you know, you kind of knew you're in last place, this is your first ultra, you kind of almost sort of said, you know, that you were going to...
Well, my brother wanted me out. He thought,
well,
we were going up the Devil's Staircase for a start at night time, which is a bit, you know, I'd never been up there before. But it was just, I was just going with the flow, really. You know what I mean? I tell you the truth, I did go... I went into the toilets in the ski centre. I kind of knelt down and I just thought, no, I ain't go back out there. There was a point where I just thought, no, just remove me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I went back out, the guy, Brian Gary, that was, you know, helped me through it. He's like, all right, come on, you, let's get going. And we got it done.
Really? And would you say, like, in your sort of state of mind, were you enjoying it, or were you, like, kind of having a bad time, or what were you kind of?
I was having a bad time. I really was. I was having a bad time from, you know, from 8 hours in.
Yeah.
But I tell you what it has, is I've never been in such bad condition since then in a race. So it's taught me something. I learned a lot from that.
I can imagine.
To feel that bad and get through a race.
Yeah.
And never felt that bad again. The only time I've ever pulled out of race is if I missed a cutoff.
Yeah.
So I kind of know what you can do when the body's kind of...
That's a good benchmark, that, isn't it?
It is.
A really good benchmark.
Yeah. I always say that, you know what I mean? I've never felt bad. And it's so they say that sometimes, don't you? Your experiences will carry you through.
Definitely. Yeah. I think if you've been in that bad nick and still completed, then... And I guess you've always got that there then. And you think, well, I'm not feeling as bad as that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and I finished.
2 mile an hour at times. You know what I mean? And seeing like James Bond in the trees with, like,
brilliant,
dressed as a meerkat with a gun.
Good old hallucinations again. That's, I love good
stuff,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the two.
James Bond runs a rest island way every year, Carrie. Do you know that?
Dressed as a meerkat.
The tail walkers were saying, you're having too much fun here, Harry. Let's get you.
Brilliant.
And that, is that something that you, because I know when we've chatted, Harry, before, you know, you've got a great sense of humour, you know, and is that something you use a lot, you know, and working through races?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, the gratitude, Tay, that you're out there and you're able to do it. And
yeah,
I mean, you've got to think, some people just would love to run a marathon, some people would love to run 10 mile or a half marathon. And we're lucky, aren't we, that we can actually, we can do these things. Very fortunate.
But you are, you know, and you do a lot for hospice, don't you? You do a lot of stuff.
Headway.
Is for somebody in particular, or is it for the organisation?
Frank, my mate, who went to school with, was a Headway member. And, you know, when I get involved just to run the London Marathon, if I'm honest. But then I met Frank there, realised...
Tell us that story, Harry, because this is pretty amazing, isn't it?
Well, we hadn't really seen... I knew Frank was in Jersey. I'm not going to say I didn't know he was in Jersey, but we just had different paths in life. And I went to do the London Marathon and I got accepted for Headway and I started fundraising. I went in one day and Beth Galashaw says to me, here, there's somebody in here that you know. And, and I was like, nah, can't think who that is. And she took me there and it was Frank. I knew him straight away.
And you'd gone to school together in Dumbarton?
We'd been to school in Dumbarton together, yeah. And I, as I say, I knew he was just
mad,
but I didn't know about his tumour, brain tumour stuff. And then we started, you know, Frank, there's a question here about your big influences, and Frank was like, you know, I just learnt so much. We ended up best of mates and we'd get together on a Saturday and, you know, we've got a race for him now. As you know, he passed away a couple of years
ago. Yeah, the race for Frubs.
Yeah, the Frubs, 10 Frubs, you know what I mean? And he was he was such a character, Frank. He was, you know, you never get down too much about things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a great story.
It's great to have Headway as a kind of a cause to run for a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, definitely. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's a great organisation and, you know, they're the heroes. The people that get up every morning and with these conditions and stuff, they're my heroes. People say we're the heroes. I don't look at it that way. You know, they're the heroes. We're the lucky ones. We're the lucky ones, aren't we?
It's good to be able to help out, though, isn't it? Yeah. And do a bit for them. And I guess, like, you know, I mean, I did a bit for hospice back in, you know, a few years ago. And it was nice to be able to sort of do stuff, you know. And I think if you've got a personal link to a charity, and, you know, then it's even more profound, isn't it? And you're obviously thankful for what they did for Frank.
Yeah.
And you want to repay that. And I think that's a really good... you know, it's a really good dynamic, really, because I think it gives you a cause, which means, you know, when you're running a race and you're suffering, you probably are more likely to go on, you know, and obviously the charity wins as well. So it's a lovely, and it's a great way to obviously on a Frank as well, which is brilliant. Tell us then, on that sort of note, what's like? Have you got any like bad memories from races? Is it, or you know, anything that kind of sticks in your mind? You know,
the arc of attrition really is a bit of a bummer. Four times I've not finished.
Yeah.
Twice I've got to St Ives, which is 80 mile. Must have cut off the first year over an hour, and I got lost. Only missed it by about 20 minutes the third year. I just know that I said to James Manners last year, I've never stepped on the start line of a race that I didn't think I could finish.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
And I'll get back on that. And so it's a disappointment. I'll get back on that line again next year.
Of course you are. So the Arc of Attrition, for people listening, is a race based in Cornwall.
Yeah.
It's a 100-mile race. It starts at, where does it start?
Coverack.
And it finishes at St Ives?
Port Town.
And it basically goes all the way around the whole of the Cornish coast. Yes. It's in the middle of winter.
Yes, fabulous.
And it is brutal, isn't it? I mean, it's really technical terrain. Yeah. So it's a really, and the cutoffs are quite aggressive, aren't they?
Yeah,
so they're not like a lot of ultras where you can kind of go and as long as you can kind of handle being out there, you'll generally finish. Whereas this is like you have to make it to 60 miles within how many hours?
Oh, God. You're asking me now.
Is it like 20 hours?
Yeah, I think it's about 20. Yeah.
So you have to be shifting.
It's for elites, really. Elites and me, I think. Elite runners.
You sounded like Billy Connolly there for a second. That was fantastic. the elites and me. I'll just rock up.
I have to say that name, the Arc of Attrition, I mean, what a great name for a race. I mean, it's already sort of setting you up to say, right, this is... Yeah. I would personally say I think it's probably one of the hardest ultras in the UK. I would say that and the Dragon's Back are there, aren't they?
What attracted me to it is when I saw it and it said 50% do not finish this race every year.
Yeah.
I thought that'll do me.
That'll do me.
part of me wishes I'd never have seen the advert.
I can imagine. It's I mean, going back 4 years, you know, on a trot. I mean, that's real persistence. That is.
Yeah.
And I know you were due to go back this year because I was due to go and do the 50 with you, wasn't I?
Yes.
And you were due to do the 100, and obviously it's been postponed.
But what I will say for the past couple of years, I mean, I knew last year when I didn't finish that I thought to myself, right, I'm doing the same thing over and over. It's the definition of insanity, isn't it? I'm doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And what I was doing was just out running hundreds of miles a week. And I was, so last year I got a PT involved and I started doing some speed work and, and I'm continuing that now.
Yeah.
You know, like I was out running the day a little bit faster, just a little bit faster. And if I can keep this up till next year, I think that's it. It's not the it's the cutoffs. It's just been that.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily running a volume, like large volumes of miles then, but you're looking to do more, like you say, efficient workouts with quicker pace we're able to run at quicker pace.
If the cutoffs weren't what they were, I'm sure I'd get through the race. You know, if I have 40 hours to finish, but it's not 40 hours, it's 36.
Yeah.
36, yeah. And it's it carries, I've just written here, I haven't seen this before, so I'm just looking at it now, but it carries 6 points towards the UTMB. So it's quite a serious, it does look quite serious undertaking.
6 points, there's not many races in the UK that have 6 points. I think the Dragon's Back and the Spine.
Yeah.
Are both ones, and obviously the Dragon's Back is navigation, but I think this Dragon's Back is in the summer. Dragon's Back is in the summer. This is in the winter, and I think, like, you know, the terrain, you know, as you'll sort of attest, Harry, it's quite boggy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the mud, you know, just running through mud and bog all the time. And the organisers are brutal. That, you know, if there's an erosion on the cliff path, and they've got to take you through a little town, and it adds on 5 miles. They don't up the cutoff time.
I like this.
Enter next year, mate.
I know why you're doing this. I like that, man. I like that. That sounds just crazy.
I'm seeing a theme here. I'm seeing a theme, like the three people that we've interviewed so far, they're all masochists.
Yeah, they're all masochists. I'm going to have a chat with them separately, Paul. I really am. The West Highland Way, Harry, is 14,000 feet, just to let you know. Right, like, you were right. It's 14,000 feet. So it's something down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over 95 miles.
Yeah, that is. So then, following on from worst memories, right, we've all got one of these, the what the hell am I doing here moment from races. Like, so, you know, have you ever had that where...
Yeah, I've had it a few times, but I... when Liz's... My wife's mum lives out in Borneo, and as soon as we said we were going there, I looked at this Mount Kinabalu. So there's a race there that I tried to enter.
Yeah.
And the director sent me an email back saying, well, we have this baby race that you could maybe do. And I kind of forget that I'm getting older. I forget all these things. I say, no baby races for me. Give me the big bad boy.
Brilliant.
When I got on the line and I'm chatting to a guy who was like fourth in the Marathon de Sab and all these Ethiopians and I was
thinking,
why am I here?
So tell us about the race.
Well, if I'm honest, you get to the last kilometer of the turning point.
Yeah.
And you're on the rock face, you've done all the climbing, and the last section is fairly flat, but you've got 3 hours to get there. And I was like top of the mountain, a kilometer to go, and I was 10 minutes. So I missed a cut-off.
Oh, no.
But the thing is, you've got to get back down again, haven't you?
Regardless.
So you can either go back down the way you came, or they let you carry on the race, basically. But you're not finishing the race properly. So instead of being sensible and just going down the quick route, no, Harry has to carry on. I think nine hours later...
This is the Harry we know.
Yeah, last again. And they were all waiting on the finish. They're lovely people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a race I should have just not bothered entering, actually.
So were you just thinking, like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah.
What were the conditions like?
You know, the conditions are good. It's hot. It gets a little bit colder as you go up. But it's just like that. It's just climbing all the time. I think its claim to fame is it's got the most elevation in the shortest distance, if that makes sense.
Okay, right.
You're just up, it's relentless. You're just up all the time. But what I would say is if I could go back there again, I think that's the race I could maybe get the cut off. I really do think.
Brilliant.
Because I have been up there. Me and Liz climbed up it, so I know the course.
Harry, you're an inspiration, buddy. This is so funny.
Honestly, I thought my racing days were over, you know, listening to Harry, I'm waiting for my second wind to come, honestly.
I know, I'm literally going to wait until my leg falls off until I stop running now. That's it, Harry. I'm not going to care anymore. You know, even if I can't see a thing, I'm just going to keep running.
Yeah. So, Harry, what advice would you give to somebody just starting to run?
Do you know, I would certainly say try and enjoy it as much as you can, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you're serious about, you know, maybe making the Island Games or something, obviously you get a coach involved. But and you can, you know, there's no such thing as can't run. Do you know what I mean? Everybody, it's physically able to walk.
Totally.
Can run, you know. There's no, it's not rocket science, is it? You know what I mean?
No.
It's just get out there and do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You buy yourself a new pair of running shoes or whatever and just get involved, you know what I mean? It's
because like obviously at parkrun, I think, you know, you'd see a lot of people who, you know, probably start their running careers, as it were, at parkrun, and I think that was the thing with parkrun. One, it was just so good to see people having a go, you know, and I think a lot of people have sort of gone through parkrun to Trail Monkey, and you know, we've seen people ourselves do parkrun, and then, you know, I know somebody who took on Round the Rock last year, you know, and went through the whole, you know, process, started a parkrun, first run they ever did.
Yeah.
And
There's loads of people do your races, you know, 5K, they don't want to do 5K, or they don't want to do 10K, we'll do 5K, and then they're doing double top, you know, halfway, Yeah. And I'm sure those people will end up doing double top anyway and then round the rocks.
For sure.
But yet, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, they were like struggling to do,
yeah.
They didn't want to do a 10K. So it's, it's all out there, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, you know, like the start, Harry, you're talking about, you know, distances, PB, stuff like that. You know, for lots of people, it is about that, you know, and for lots of people, it is about socializing, getting out there, doing what they need to do, you know. Would you say then, with your experience of life, it's about a mixture of all those things then, and just feeling out what's good for you and what can work for you?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do you know what I mean? It's some people want to go quick and do fast 10Ks or fast half marathons. Mm. Some people are looking for, you know, some people don't think they could do a marathon, but until they actually enter it. Everybody's just happy doing their own thing. You know, I heard a lad saying a couple of months ago about how he really enjoys doing a fast 5K and, you know, busting his guts to get a 5K. Well, that doesn't appeal to me. But it doesn't need to either, does it?
You know, no. There's plenty of people who'll do that, and there's plenty of people, you know, who will do the ultras, and you know, it's you know, there's plenty of room for everybody,
yeah,
really, isn't there?
Sure.
I mean, there's plenty of people to do, you know, plenty of room for people to do slow 5Ks. I mean, it's just, I think, like you said right at the start there, it's the most important thing is to enjoy it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And it might be that at the outset, you know, you do 5Ks and so on and so forth, but then, you know, you end up coming into something a bit more substantial where, you know, you go out and enjoy the view, or you go out and enjoy, you know, running with your friends or the solitary thing, you know. And do you listen to music when you run, Harry?
I can do either or, you know, I can listen to music, or I have been lately.
Yeah.
I can do it without, you know what I mean? It's not.
What do you listen to?
Oh God, I'm like,
Radiohead.
I'm stuck in the '70s.
Metallica.
No, I'm a Van Morrison.
Yeah.
Neil Young, James Taylor.
Nice.
All kind of. Yeah. Marshall Tucker Band. Who's ever heard of them?
I've heard of them actually, but not heard them. But,
What about What about the environment, Harry? Do you know, you know, you talked about the West Island Way there, you talked about the Arc of Attrition, you talked about, you know, the races that you'd, I think, you, did you not try and wander from the top of Britain all the way to the bottom at some point? I think you remember that. You know, you know, the environment, because obviously there's a lot of people might listen to this that run on roads, run off road, and, you know, does the environment play a part in your running?
Definitely. You know, when you're out there in the country, you know, the North Coast, amazing, isn't it? You know, but, I mean, I'm kind of mixing it up at the minute. There was a time there years ago when I was never off the North Coast. I wasn't on the road much at all.
Yeah.
But last year, because I was trying to get a bit quicker, and I had a little niggle in my knee, not, you know, a bad niggle, but just enough to keep me off the cliff pass. And I'd done a lot of road running, and I enjoyed that as well.
Would you say that's a good thing then for people who are looking to get a bit faster to mix it up with a bit of road?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm no an expert on this type of thing, but
I would say you are. I mean, you've got 43 years of running experience, so you've got, you know.
Yeah, but we never had all the, you know, they've got the internet now, they've got coaches online, they've got coaches, they've got everything there. Do you know what I mean? What did we have, a running magazine with a couple of tips in it and,
and a boss that probably was, I heard, I don't know, if, were you part of a running club, Harry? You mentioned that, didn't you?
Well, I was in the Spartans. Yeah, I started off in the Spartans.
I don't know what it was like in the Spartans, but I remember the guy that used to always take it was, I can't swear too much on this podcast, but they were particularly evil. And they didn't let you know when you were finished, didn't let know you when you started. It's almost like every single training session was how long is a bit of string. You turned up and you just gave it everything, and you just hoped that at some point they would tell you, right, that's you finished. I don't know if that was like for you in the old days.
In Scotland, I was in the Barton Harriers for a little while, and it was like that there. Yeah, definitely. But Jersey, I think, was a bit tamer. I think the Spartans, Colin Campbell, Daphne Wagstaff, Derek Taylor, people like that, I think they were a little bit. Yeah, I think most of our hard work was done when we were running together, you know, when we were in a like on a Sunday, a group of your distance guys would mix it up a bit. And there was lots of races then too. There was an awful lot of races, you know what I mean, building up to marathons.
Yeah. So I mean, that sort of leads quite nicely into, you know, about resources and things here in Jersey. I mean, what's your view on the resources and the clubs and the facilities that we have available here in Jersey? And is there anything you'd want to sort of change about that, or would you have any suggestions about things that could be done better?
You know, I'd like to see a bit of unity. You know, I feel as if you don't get many Spartans coming to your races, or you don't get too many trail monkeys. You know, it's I'd say unity. You know, just everybody getting together and just mixing it up. Even the tri club, you know, whatever. You know,
I think it can be quite disjointed, can't it? With like, say, events calendars and stuff. You know, and I think like we could definitely benefit from a unified approach in that you know, that capacity, and definitely people feeling like they could go to Spartans, from Parkrun, from Trail Monkey, you know, all those sorts of things, and feel like a welcomed member.
Yeah, definitely.
Why do you say that, Harry?
Because I just can see it. You know what I mean? I see that. I just know it goes on. You know, people are a bit like, yeah. You know, when Digby started, the stuff that Paul's taking over and he's making a great job of it, you know, some of the Spartans go, no, so he's charging for races, it's, you know, and they didn't, they don't see the time that goes into these things, setting up the course, the admin, all the work. You know, the Spartans as a club, they've got a president, they've got a treasurer, they've got these things, you know, and
I remember once going to like a track night, that was put on by somebody that we all know. And I remember talking to someone from Spartans and they wouldn't go to that because they felt like it was competing with another night, which is put on by somebody else we know. I'm not going to name names and all that. But it's almost seen as a political thing, which I think is a real shame, because I think, you know, from my perspective, and I'm sure, you know, from the guys who organise Parkrun and that, there is no politics as far as all that's concerned. So I think people lose out, don't they, when there is politics involved, which is a shame.
Of course.
Yeah. And maybe what you're saying there, Harry, is that, you know, like going back to your personality, the way in which you interact with people, how you don't, there's no judgment there at all. I mean, I've seen you talk to, you know, anybody. I mean, it's almost as if you're some waifing stranger, but you're not, you know, you talk to anybody, Harry, and you'll get that information out of people because people will talk with you.
But I think you'll see as well from, you know, when Parkrun started, how many people go to Parkrun who aren't part of clubs. And I think that's, you know, it's an amazing thing, you know, and it's an amazing thing that people come to Trail Monkey as well and take part in that. And, you know, so there's obviously, there's not a need being fulfilled there by the clubs, is there?
No. And even, I mean, I shouldn't really say this, but even the Spartans has always been a bit of a divide. There's always been, you know what I mean, like the track runners and the,
and the endurance guys and the,
Maybe what we need to do, Harry, is everyone needs to go and picture James Bond as a meerkat for a bit and just watch through the West.
Yeah.
We all need to lose our minds for a bit.
That's it.
I think we need to get everybody running 100 milers and then we'll all be on the same page.
Yeah. We'll all be good.
Definitely. Off the back of that one, then, what are you thankful for here as a runner in Jersey?
Well, obviously we're location, isn't it? We just out our door and we're a mile away. You know, even if you stay in the middle of St. Helier, you're a mile away from the coast road. That, you know, you can head out to St. Catharines. You can run for miles and miles without crossing the road, couldn't you?
It's great.
You can go on the north coast. Yeah. The weather isn't that bad, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit cold. No, it was a little bit cold today, but you know.
It was, wasn't it? I had my jacket on today.
Yeah. You're not going to get snowed in and the safety. You know, you're safe, apart from some of the car drivers can be a bit. But, you know, you've got a lot to be thankful for. And in the summer days, well, you know, it's like, it's mind blowing, actually.
It's, it is, and we're I know we're friends on Facebook, Carrie, and I don't, you know, I don't use it too much other than just being so nosy in people's lives. But one of the things I do get really that has stuck in my mind a lot over the last years is every morning you'll stick a photo on when you've been out for a run. It just says morning.
Yeah.
It says good morning, and it's great, it just is literally you in a nutshell. That so not only thankful for being out, being able to run, being able to do it at your age, but also, you know, posting scenery wise for other people to see, which is really thankful. I'm sure loads of people who are friends with your Facebook really kind of go, oh, hang on a second, I'm lying in my bed here on a Sunday morning. Yeah. He's the way out, and he's about 400 year old. How's that happen?
Yeah, basically he's posted it as I'm just getting out of my bed sort of thing. I'm thinking about going for a run, and he's like, you know, oh my God. So tell us about Kilimanjaro then, Harry.
Kilimanjaro, right. Yeah, well,
that sounds epic.
Well, I would say that was one that when I got there, I was sitting at the foot of the mountain in a little guest house looking at the mountain thinking, how did I get here? You know, how did I manage to? And that was amazing. There was obviously a group of people I signed up with to, you know, get me up and doing it. Yeah. And just being on the, you know, before we went, it's a national park, isn't it? So before we entered in there, we had to do 3 or 4 days training at the side of the mountain, and, you know, just seeing how people lived there, how humble they were, how they get by just on their little farms, their goats, the people were just amazing. And the whole adventure of, you know, we had to go up before we'd done the challenge to get acclimatised, then come back down again and then do the challenge. And it was just awesome, you know, unbelievable. You know, I did think then, you know, when we were climbing up it, that to date in under 24 hours was a bit, I thought, oh, I've done it again. You know, I've set the bar just a little bit.
What have I got myself into?
Exactly. But the little guy that was with me, the guy that was guiding me, he was like, every day he was going like, stop worrying, you know, you'll be all right. You know, even the day before when I got altitude sickness before we went up the first time, I was a bit like, right, that's it, you know. I ain't going to recover for this, but I did. And then when we went back down, I was looking forward to the day off because the schedule was that we had a day off and then we attempted the challenge the next morning. So when he says to me, look, you're up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, I was says, what about my day off? He said, you had the day off when you were sick. So I was actually back up again in 24 hours.
Wow. Just to give us an idea, how far and how high is that?
Well, is it 25 mile up? I was looking at my watch the other day. Somebody was asking me about it, and I was looking at my watch the time, 11 hours 40 or something. And I think it's 25 mile up. And what's Kilimanjaro height? God. Come on, Lee.
About 20,000 feet.
Yes.
So that's about 6,000 meters.
6,000-7,000 meters.
Wow.
Yeah. It's,
that is phenomenal.
Yeah. And the thing is, we had, when we got to the last checkpoint on the way down, you've got to clock in all the time. They need to know where you are. And they say, look, it's too dark. You can't leave here. Yeah. And we had about 3 hours of running down the mountain to go. And if I'd had to sleep that night, the challenge would have been like, it isn't happening. So the little guide guy says, look, we need to get off the mountain. Harry's not well. So they says, well, we'll send a car, a Land Rover, up to the first point and we can meet you and get you down. And obviously about 2 hours into the last 3 hours, we've seen the car coming, so we had to turn our head torches off and juke them. So about half a kilometre from the finish, they came and got us, and there was a little guy there with an AK-47. Kind of should
have You'll and be that, used to that being from Dunbarton. You'll be all right.
Yeah, that was chicken feed. but that's one of the photos on the at the end was the guy stood next to you with the AK-47, kind of saying, right, I've got you, you know.
He made you run faster.
Yes.
Dance.
But it almost never happened.
How?
because of that. Because, you know, you're not, I think thinking back, we would maybe have started a bit earlier. We started at 4 a.m. I think if we'd have started at 2 a.m. It's all a bit incognito. You know, yeah. They don't like you doing this sort of stuff in Kilimanjaro.
Oh, really?
No, they don't like you doing this sort of stuff.
Yeah. I can't actually believe that that's 6,000, 7,000 meters of climbing. I mean, I've done a race where it was Transvolcano, where it was 2,500 meters. And that was just like, I mean, was it just like solid climbing?
Yeah.
Like up, all the way?
Yeah.
For how many hours? 12 hours?
11:40.
Did you have poles?
No.
Wow. I mean, I remember getting to the top of the Transvolcano. I can't remember the name of the mountain now. It was like a volcano crater. I remember getting to the top of that, and my back was just absolutely shot. Like, I mean, what were you like?
Yeah, I was pretty done in, but yeah, it's just wow. I had two guys with me. Well, I had two guys with me to start with. I think we burnt one of them off. Actually, but he was thrown in at the deep end. The boss Simon Mutti, he was supposed to do it with us, and he got ill. Yeah. And he kind of chucked an ultra guy in, and he just wasn't prepared. So
right.
There was three of us, and ended up just two of us. But you know, it'd be some experience. And the same again, the gratitude for just being able.
I bet it was beautiful, was it, at the top?
Stunning, stunning, absolutely stunning.
Yeah. It's amazing when you get like that. You know, hearing you talk there, Harry, we could probably, you know, fill up a 3, 4, 5, 6 hour podcast with what's going on with you. But it's love, you know, your gratitude towards what you're able to do, you know, at your age, but also your gratitude to just other people. You know, it just shines through, and I can't help but notice it and mention it to you. It's a wonderful thing, Harry.
Well, you need people, don't you? You know what I mean? It's as I say, I couldn't have just went out there and done that myself. Do you know what I mean? These guys, they looked after us. And
it's true that I think with a lot of the sort of things you end up doing, like race-wise and challenge-wise, it's generally the connections with people that you remember. Mm. I think they're the things that resonate, aren't they?
Yeah.
For me, definitely. I don't know about you, Harry.
Yeah, and having a crew as well, you know, the best way, you know, having a crew makes your West Highland way a lot easier. You know, if I could get a crew down to Cornwall, I'm sure that would make a big difference to finish.
But it's the bond you have as well with the people, because they've seen you at your worst, isn't it, as well?
Definitely, yeah.
That's why we should all get to hallucinate James Bond in a beer can.
At least once in our lives.
We'll get together much easier when we're, you know, the hippies had it right.
Yeah, definitely. So what does running mean to you, Harry?
Well, I looked at that question, and it means...
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it means everything to me, doesn't it? It means, it's what makes me tick, isn't it? For somebody that runs every single day, most days, and it's my go-to thing, it's you know, I started off just to get myself physically fit.
Yeah.
Didn't realise, you know, all those years ago that how good it would do my mental well-being as well. And it just, you know, sometimes when I've had a tough day at work and a few challenges, you know, a couple of awkward, you know, builders or whatever, and I just get out there and give it half an hour into my run, I'm away from it all. Do you know what I mean? Or if I've got to have a good think about what's been going on in the day as well, I can tend to be able to do it. And Lee, I've met Lee up at Waterworks Valley. That's my go to spot, and it's so tranquil up there, Lee.
Yeah, that's why it's there. You know, it's a beautiful spot. And
yeah,
it's interesting to hear you say there about, you know, it's a distraction for you, but it's also something that can be helpful for you. So those two things are quite a common thing that people need in their life sometimes, aren't they? A distraction, but they also need thinking time.
Yeah.
And you know, and when you're talking there, that's what it sounds like running is to you.
Yeah, it's ticking. And it's a feel-good factor, isn't it? It's
yeah.
I know when I don't run, you know, for a couple of days, a couple of weeks ago, I was too knackered, to tell you the truth. Work was just pretty mental. I think Liz would probably tell you I'm harder to live with if I'm not running. That's for sure. You know what I mean?
Leading up to a race, you're not a massive fan of tapering and stuff, are you?
No, well, it's difficult. You know what I mean? But but I don't do the volume, obviously, but I'll still run most days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's probably not the right thing to do either. But
that's because you enjoy running, isn't it? It's just because it's a way of life for you.
Yeah,
so you.
Yeah.
So you kind of do the running because that's, like you said,
yeah, I've integrated it into my life, haven't I? Do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
The van's always got running gear in it. Probably more running gear in the van than there is in the house.
More running gear than paint gear.
That's great.
Maybe I'd like to see you running past me in your painter's kit one day, Harry. That would make my day.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we're getting close to the hour. So I think we'd like to hit you with a few quick fire questions. So gels or solid food, which do you prefer?
Yeah, I think gels.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And would you use them generally for an ultra?
I would either have them or Liz makes some amazing flapjacks.
Yeah?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Flapjack, yeah, they'll get you going.
Okay, we'll have to try some of them. I think we'll have to get this to.
Right, next race Liz, then, let me know.
Let's do a real trail runners podcast and on the flapjacks. And,
yeah. On the flapjacks, yeah. So what's in them?
Oh, what's in them? bananas, dates. Oh, she put seven in them.
Magic mushrooms?
Or? No.
Yeah. Are you sure? That's probably what you see in James Bond with his beer.
I could surprise you.
Right, I'm putting an order in now for Liz's flapjacks. Yeah. I need to take some of these. And what's your go-to trail trainers?
Hawker Speed Goats.
Ah, you're still on a Speed Goats, yeah?
Why them, Harry?
I think because my feet, I would say, are my Achilles heel. Is that the right word? My feet are I'd say my feet are my weakest point. And
is that the blisters?
Well, I think it was. See that first year in the West Highland Way. I think that's where the damage was done.
Really?
And that area of my foot, I get horrendous blisters, and I think that's the same area when I attempted to jog all the come back. So I think I need that, you know, for the pieces stuff, I need that padding. And
what about on the road? What do you use on the road?
I'm on Brooks Glycerin or Ghost.
Yeah.
I'm getting on really well with them at the minute. So
what's your must-have kit item for an ultra? What's the one thing you need that you can't do without?
Well, I'd say the both things we mentioned, gels and Liz's flapjacks, is a toss-up.
Oh, you're selling these.
Is Liz listening?
No, she'll be quite happy. She'll be quite happy to do a batch whenever we're ready for it.
Brilliant. Right, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that'd be really good. Particularly, I'm starting to up my mileage now, so I'm starting to look for solid food items. So, yeah, definitely. Okay, so top race day tip then.
You know, stay focused, but try and enjoy it. Yeah. It's a double-edged thing, isn't it? You know, you need to stay focused at your pace, you know, where you're running, but try and take some enjoyment out of it as well.
Do you have a routine that you go through each day, or do you just kind of take it as it comes?
Each race?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a routine. I just make sure everything is... I always try and go as light as I can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless it's like that of attrition, you need to go a bit, you know, well prepared. But round the rock, I try to go as light as I can. And
tops off.
Well, if you can. get a bit old for that, right enough. But
you still rock it, mate. You still rock it. Okay. So bucket list race. I mean, Kilimanjaro sounds like that's a bucket list race to me, actually. But is there anything you'd love to do?
The joggle. I've still not took my mind off the joggle. I mean, I'm supposed to be doing it in May.
Are you?
I'm supposed to be, but can you see it happening with the pandemic?
Not really.
No.
Well, not unless you're wearing a mask and some sort of full PPE for the whole duration. That's not going light.
I'm glad you're saying that, because I did a text the guy I'm supposed to be doing it with last week, because I wanted them to say it's in May, and I wanted them to say it was off, so as I could get in touch with you, Paul, and say about the triple crown thing.
Yes, but the Grand Slam.
He's still saying it could be on in May.
So are you doing it as like a supported attempt, or is it a race? Or
no, just what? Two of us. Just two of us.
So you're attempting John O'Groats to Land's End, the two of you?
Yeah, just tent in the back. You know, just
how long do you think it's going to take?
35 mile a day, maybe 3 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's on my bucket list to do that, but I'm thinking more 2 months for me, like, you know, probably.
No, I don't think so. I think
yeah.
Yeah. I think you're well capable of it.
I'd love to do it. I think that'd be such a good trip.
We should do that. We should do that. That sounds fun. It's always been something I've wanted to do, you know, across the UK, Pennine Way, all that stuff.
Be amazing. I've always wanted to run the Wales Coastal Path from Anglesey all the way around to Herefordshire.
Yes.
I think it's Herefordshire. I think that's about 900,000 miles or something.
Wow.
Not 900 or 1,000 miles, not 900,000. Yeah, no. But I mean, that's meant to be amazing. And I think, it's definitely on the list as well. But
don't give Harry any more ideas. That'll be.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, I know. And unfinished business race. I think I can guess this one is.
The Arc of Attrition. The Arc of Attrition's got to.
Yeah.
It's getting it, you know what I mean? I don't want to wait till I'm 70 to finish it.
You're obviously going to sign up for next year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you're straight in, aren't you? If it's been,
of course, because of the pandemic, they've deferred you. So, what are you going to do differently this year or next year?
Well, I'm already. You know, I've got a PT once a week. Yeah. He's doing fartlek stuff, speed stuff, you know, strengthening stuff, and I'm just generally trying to run a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Into Saturday morning, try to run up more hills.
Yeah.
You know, on the cliff paths instead of just saying, right, I'm walking up this hill. Try to do what we done back in the day.
You know where that got me.
Smashing it.
You know where that got me.
So basically what you're saying, Harry, is you've dispensed with the ultra runner's creed, which is walk the hills and run the flats. Yeah. You're basically throwing that one out the window.
I think so. Yeah, well, it's
heresy. That is heresy.
Yeah. Well,
good on you.
Well, you never know, Harry. I might be there with you next year. You've definitely piqued my interest in that race. I've never seen that before, and that sounds amazing.
Well, I'd entered the 50 this year because I thought that'd be a good, you know, good way to. But obviously, it's been postponed, so it's a shame. But I think my entry carries over. So join us.
50,
we'll do a podcast on there.
Definitely. Paul, you're the sensible one. You've entered the 50. I'm the dafty that goes for the 100 and never finishes it.
I am sure that next year, this race is yours, my friend. I'm sure it is.
I'll be on the start line, God willing, and I'll give it my best shot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Good.
Listen, Harry, it's been amazing speaking to you. Thanks for taking the time out.
I'm humbled, mate. I'm really privileged that you've asked me. Lee.
It's great. You've got so much experience, you know?
Yeah.
That's been great, Harry. Harry, I could talk with you for hours and hours and hours, but and I could probably ask you so much more about your head state when you're going through all these things.
Yeah,
but just not got the time just now. It's been fantastic, Harry. Thank you so much.
Can I just say one last thing? This wave to other runners when you pass them.
Yes,
I always wave, right? And if you wave back, it's my fist that gets waved after that. They hate it when they don't say hello.
So you're a sociable runner, is what you're saying, Harry.
Yeah, hello.
You think, and I completely agree. I think, you know, we're all out there.
Of course.
We're all breaking our backs, you know. Everybody should be, you know, we should all be waving, saying hi.
And I shouldn't be
spreading the love.
And I shouldn't be so judgmental, you know. Somebody could have a bad night and I'm going to kill them.
but that's their prerogative, but, you know.
Of course.
But I think we should all be spreading a bit of love, definitely.
Okay, right. Paul, thank you very much for asking me.
Thank you very much, Harry.
And thank you.
Take care.
Speak to you soon, guys.
Cheers. Harry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Always great talking to Harry. That was episode 4. Really enjoyed listening to how he, you know, is getting better at running beyond 62, which I just think is so inspirational for all of us, really. Really enjoyed listening to his stories and the races he's done. I think there's plenty more stories to come from Harry as well, which is great. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please email us at paul@trailmonkeyjersey.com. You can also get in touch with us through our social pages. So Facebook is Trail Monkey Jersey and Instagram is Trail Monkey Jersey also. It'd be great to hear from you. If you've got any comments about the show, any contributions you'd like to make, or anything else, any suggestions. Always great to hear, and thanks for listening, and stay tuned for episode 5 next week.